You're listening to WPBM LP in Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7 on the dial, and globally at WPBMFM.org.
When I hear the phrase "listen and be heard," it reminds me, it takes me to like thinking about kind of like some of those principles of like community organizing, right? Like, and it should be an exchange, right? It makes me think of like that kind of whole conversation around stuff like mutual aid, right? Like, it should be something that we're here to know each other, and to do that, one has to listen, but one also has to be heard, right? So you have to like kind of one, build that confidence in yourself to be able to like say the things that you're feeling or thinking, right? And hope that the folks around you are open to that, right? Or at least open to the conversation around that. And then you have to do the same.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard. Welcome back to the Audio Garden, my friends. It is so good to be here with you once again in this peaceful place. Even if it's only for a fleeting time, where we can reflect, find some peace, and move on with the business of the world. That's what a garden provides.
Welcome to Listen and Be Heard Remix, Volume 9. This is a super.
The event that I do is I guess you want to say quarterly event. It's called DSM Live. It's a mental health fundraiser because I am also a therapist. So you're catching me in my office today. And so I want to, because poetry was my therapy growing up, I wanted to be able to create a curriculum and create a clinic where we do creative arts therapy and allow creative people to explore all the things and have a safety net so they don't go into the rabbit hole. And if one of the creative people understand what the rabbit hole is, it's kind of a scary place to be, but we need to go there sometimes to explore ourselves and to come out better. But I wanted a safer space to do that. So with my license and with my love of poetry for the last 25 years, I decided that I wanted to change my Kintsugi Poetics form into DSM Live.
When you speak, I want to be your essence. So I can resonate in your mouth, sizzling tingle to your tongue. I want to be your peace. So I can press against your lips. I want to be your P's and S's together. So I can be your secret whispers, contaminating the unwelcome listeners, blessing the deserving dreamers. When you write, I want to be your fingers. So I can know the power of your touch, first-hand glimpse of greatness between the lines, second-hand witness of the majesty of your healing caress. And when you think, I want to be your brain. Controlling the frontal to aid in planning our future and being movement when we dance. Touching the parietal so that I can erase your pain, raising your temperature when I come into a room, easing into the temporal so that I can replay our memories and my soothing voice in your ear. Obstructing the obstacle of all horrific tragedies, but when you see your vision, I want to be your eyes. To behold the look of destiny, front row seat in your dreams, I want to be your eyelashes. To Eskimo kiss our kids and make all negativity disappear, but when you breathe, I want to be your lungs. So I can be filled with all your being, transformed like diamonds to radiate the air, but you don't know how much I want to be your nose. First one to be blessed with the whiff of your cologne, next to witness changes in hormones as your scent draws me nearer and nearer, becoming stronger as you come closer and closer and closer. When you listen, I want to be your eardrum, singing sweet music in the canal, stealing the underlying sentiments, savoring the leftover cadence of those worthy enough to grace you with conversation. And when you smile, I want to be your teeth, so I can brighten this dark world, lighten up a room, locking bodies in a shadow box with no capability to move. But when you laugh, I want to be your heart, so I can jump, skipping race when you see me, so I can be stone, as to discern who not to waste your life on. And for now, when you hold me, I evaporate into you, into warmth and safety. A fortress is how you protect me. And just so you know, on our wedding day, if you can't find me, I've evaporated into your heart and soul, where God said is my final place to reside.
And it's my teaching that in order to, you know, be ensouled, right, to have a soul, you must come through the womb.
Right.
Cannot be manufactured. You cannot be pieced together. You cannot come from a petri. It's just, that's the divinity. And that's why, you know, when we're such an analog to the modern culture, you know, indigenous thought, original indigenous wisdom. It doesn't have to belong to us. It could belong to your great-great and grand-grandmother. You know, that knowledge that I opened the story with, that we hold sacred water, the water of life, a miracle. You know, we reduce that to nothingness, to a C-section, to a twilight drug to put you out so you can just sort of push that baby out. I mean, it's all everything.
Right,
but
without any ceremony.
Nothing. No acknowledgement.
No acknowledgement of that sacred.
Yes.
Act that happens. It's not even an act, right? It's more than that.
Tough love, right? I wish Martin Luther King was alive now, because I don't know. I know when he started realizing that he's integrating us into a burning house, that's when he got taken out. And his brain didn't even develop. He was younger than me, right? So it shapes me and it molds me. I hate it, but it loves my soul. Had me walking concrete streets to country roads, a long journeys, no food, weak, out of control. This gritty, grimy, tough love had me like, what? Because it always could find me and remind me to go on. Because into the night is when the work gets done. So I flex my muscles and get on it, I'm ready. And if my knee gets weak, don't let it. Can't be given unless I'm trying to get it. And the clouds will clear up. From the bottom of the stairs, there's nowhere but up. So you better love me so I can function independently and breathe fresh air through my chest. Fight for freedom if I'm bleeding from the fight to the death till I have nothing left in me. On this quest for more destiny, I shed a tear and persevere through this tough love, because I got old blood.
That was Tough Love in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., the voice of Zakiya Modeste, theater queen, athlete, spoken word artist, featured with Craig Harris and Savion Glover, and my neighbor in Harlem, New York.
You're listening to Listen to Be Heard Remix, Volume 9. This is Joe Seibel.
I was kind of your stereotypical jock when I was growing up, you know, the kid out playing outside all day long. And then in high school and college, I was playing sports. And so really not on my radar to become a writer. And then one day, I can tell you exactly when it happened. My wife was my girlfriend at the time, and she was in medical school. And so she was studying all the time, and I had nothing to do when I would go and visit her. And so one day, I really have no idea where it came from, but I just felt like I had this idea that I wanted to write down. Recalling those feelings brings on a glimmer of hope. I used to feel hope all the time back in my charmed youth. That sense that anything's possible. Not only possible, but virtually assured. The knowledge deep down that things will work out. Thinking about that kid, I feel that old spark of hope for the first time in years. The spark of possibility. And I can't stop the thought that at least in some way, everything on this list could happen for him. I decide right here and now that I'm going to make sure they do. I'm going to take that pill after all and stick around for a while. In fact, I'll be damned if that boy doesn't get each and every one of those wishes before he dies. They're not just his wishes now, they're mine too. If I wasn't stuck in this beanbag, I'd find a phone and call up Doc Keaton right now to tell him the good news. His favorite 100-year-old has found a reason to live.
And every woman...
This is
an important
remix.
It's an important
remix.
It's
I wanted to, you know, read out my poetry, but most of the sessions that happened in Delhi were less theatrical, and they were more about, you know, like established poets reading out their stuff in very prominent places, you know, very five-star luxury hotels, things, places like those. So poetry for me was more something that could, you know, relate to anyone, and it didn't, you, someone doesn't have to be from a literary background in order to understand poetry. Do you wake before the sun? Those with hunger in the belly know how to brave the dark. For many years you have circled the earth. So many suns have risen and set since then. Sometimes you touch a flower and ask if your skin is a spacesuit. When your mother opened the door to this life, you were coming from another one. So what if you can't remember all those lives before? It must have been a good party if the hangover passes by noon. But for living so long, now you doubt and you question everything. But this is true. All living things are radiating from within. Their light is electric. See the cells communicating, stars burning, energy pulsing, feet thudding to the beat of Shiva's universal drum. You are comfortable in most kinds of intimacy. But when the light is woven like a net across all bodies, this intimacy is no secret, nor hidden in the shadow. I can hear the frequency of your silence, privacy and illusion to protect the mind. We've known each other before. Only our memory fades us. We've been here before.
This is Mesa and Silas.
Okay, this is Sarah and Silas. And do you guys consent to be on Listen and Be Heard Radio?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. This is Listen and Be Heard Radio for readers and writers. We are in Greenville, South Carolina, in front of the Greenville County Courthouse. And this has been a protest here for immigrants' rights and just against all the things that are happening. Your name again, I'm sorry?
Sarah.
Sarah, you're one of the protesters here for the demonstration. Just tell us, you know, what's going on here today and why we're gathered.
Sure. We're here in Greenville downtown, and it's a beautiful day out. We're speaking up for things that matter to us. I've seen a lot of stories and heard a lot of people's situations from this past week. All the things happening up in North Carolina, stretching from Charlotte all the way to Raleigh and Durham. And it's just catastrophic, really, and terrible to hear the stories. These are real people and lives that are being impacted, and I think it's time for all of us to stand up and be heard. I can't imagine that there are people left in this country who still agree with what's going on. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around, really. So that's why we're here.
Absolutely. And I see that you're Sarah, your name is Sarah, right? You're here with Silas, your son. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 16 years old.
And as a young person, you know, we had, you know, what came down in Charlotte on Wednesday. You had masses of young people that, you know, made a statement by walking out of classes, just saying, hey, this isn't cool. You know, as a young person, you know, this really speaks to our future. You know, just tell us, you know, how you feel about all this.
I feel like everyone, or not everyone, a lot of people are blaming problems in this country on immigrants, and I feel like the immigrants aren't really the problem. It's the billionaires and these huge corporations that keep hogging all the money from the people, and then they're trying to blame the immigrants so people have someone to blame, but actually, in reality, it's all these billionaires hoarding all this money, and I feel like people should just know that's it's all these people in charge on the top, and it's not these little immigrants that come in that create the problems.
Silas, I think you hit it on the head. Again, Sarah, Silas, thank you so much for being on our program. Again, this is Listen and Be Heard Radio for readers and writers here in front of the Greenville County Courthouse in Greenville, South Carolina.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
Mm. come from women. Women come from women. I don't know any men with broken or missing ribs, but I know women who bleed or bled, not for you or me, just because that's what women do. And we're told it's not polite to talk about our bodily reality, the blood replaced at the altar by wine, and sex is not a divine reaching. No, the teaching is a commodity, and women see that we be the receivers of misogyny, because they need us to even be. I don't see why that's a problem, but it is. So we try not to disrupt the lie that we need them, that women need men, because we don't. And why should we carry on with this creating of men when they can't even remember where they came from? Men come from women. Maybe neither one created Earth, but a man never gave birth to any single thing. And yet men would have us believe that we owe them anything, anything at all, without the honor we're due. So no, I don't feel like having sex with him.
Is called Talking Stories. It's on East London Radio. And you could just go through Mixcloud, Talking Stories, East London Radio. You'll find it somewhere on the internet. We have 107 programs with the current one so far. It comes out monthly. It's available as a radio show first, then it goes out as a podcast and it's shared here and there. And mostly the producer takes care of all of that. I just have to make it, give it to the editor who edits it. He sends it to the producer who uploads it. Then after that, it's me telling everybody, it's out there, go and listen. Long, long ago in old China, there lived a little girl called May. Now, May means pretty, but this little girl was called May May because she was twice pretty. She was pretty on the outside, but she was also pretty on the inside where it counted the most. She had a good heart. Now, May May lived with her granddad, who was called Lao Nan. Now, Nan means man, and Lao means old. So his name was Old Man. It's quite a nice name in Chinese for a granddad. And they lived at the house in a little village, and they were very happy, but Lao Nan now couldn't work in the fields anymore, but he was still very, very skillful with his fingers, and he could embroider clothing, he could make dragons and phoenixes for weddings, he could embroider all kinds of things on silk costumes for weddings, and they paid him for it. And this night he'd been working all night to finish a costume for a little girl in the next village. It was going to be her birthday, and it was of the goddess Guan Yin, the goddess of the poor, the goddess of fishing people, the goddess of dragons.
Hi, my name is Tony Robles with Listen and Be Heard. I want to share with you a powerful poem from a publication called A Gathering of the Tribes. This is from issue number 16, the Black Lives Matter issue. It was guest edited by Ishmael Reed, who has gathered a very powerful group of poets that are addressing in the issue the issue of police violence against African Americans. And these poets and authors have used their art in a form of resistance and healing medicine. One of the poets that are featured in this issue is Devorah Major, former poet laureate of San Francisco, and her poem is called Downpressers, and I'm assuming that's opposed to oppressors. You walked on our bones for centuries, turned them to sand, poured into sandboxes for your children to build sand castles. And when the sand became translucent, filled with the sunlight burning your eyes, you found more to sacrifice. Sent vultures to strip away our skins and built ladders formed from our ribs, limbs, and skulls on which you climbed to get a better view of the lands you planned to conquer. And now we rise, joined by some of your children and grandchildren who have eaten of shame and refuse to travel on the rails you laid with our bones. And each of you who blocks our path, tries to press us back, will be blinded by our brilliance, blinded, blinded, blinded by our brilliance.
I spent a whole year away from social media after I completed my MFA in creative writing. And it was a time that I needed, because as you know, frontline workers and, you know, this type of work is very exhausting. And most of the people who get involved in the helping field are usually very sensitive to other people's pain. And so social media is such a good container for people's pain and angers and emotions that I had to step away from it. And I took a year off. I took most of, 2025, away from social media as much as I could, right? And from any public work. And so that I used that time to reevaluate where I was going to take my art. Two, because, or how I was going to level it, right? Because I felt at one point, and I think a lot of us did, that some of the policy makers are just not listening, and not because we haven't been expressing the need for change, but rather because there is just not a profitable leverage, you know, to listen.
I think hearing the voices of others also reminds, like, when I hear someone say something that resonates with me, I grow a little bit inside, you know, I heal inside and I remember, oh, this is something, it is worth it. You know, it is mm-hmm. worth it to listen and be heard.
Thank you, yeah. Yes.
I hear a lot of stories about how people moved from China or the borders of China and moved right through Asia. It took several hundred years to do it and became the Franks and Goths that we now know in Germany and France. Mm. You know, can't see any visual comparison to them, but there you go, that's what they say. I just love all the stories. I like the myths. I like how there are so many connections in all the stories, and so many cultures have got the same kind of story told in their fashion. The flood stories. Mm. We hear the story of Noah and the flood, but we also know the Gilgamesh story, which came hundreds of years earlier. But there is an Indian story way beyond that, when God came as a fish and saved everybody. And then there's a Chinese story way beyond that too, where the gods told them how the flood was coming. You should build these dikes and should build these dams and build these canals and walk the water out the way. Same story.
Listen and be heard, because your voice matters, but it also matters to grow yourself. And that's where listening comes in. You learn a lot from... you learn more from your ears, actually, than you do by talking about something. So definitely listen and be heard at the same time. And that's a really, really powerful name for a show. So thank you so much for, you know, coining that term.
We all have a voice. And so it all depends on how we use it. So not only do we use the voices, but we also listen to other voices. And that's what we do here. We put people together, we bring musicians together, we bring communities together, and we listen and we be heard. We listen and we be heard. This is important work, and we're all a part of it.
Tell them who you are.
My name is Ricky Riccardi. I'm the Director of Research Collections for the Louis Armstrong House Museum, Grammy winner, author, and anything that can be done to spread this great project. I'm all in. I'm all in.
You've been listening to Listen and Be Heard Remix, Volume 9. I'm Martha Sinner, and we have more coming up for you. So please, stick around, listen to the sounds of the Audio Garden, and I'll meet you on the other side of the bridge in a minute or two.
Support the Listen and Be Heard Network and Sound System Culture, that Inc., so that we can keep on bringing you this beautiful music and these beautiful statements and giving our people in our community all around the world a voice that they may heal and grow and inspire. All right now, all the best. Peace out.
forms of resistance. Craig Harris and the Harlem Night Sounds Big Band. Coming back on Thursday nights in April.
in family court are bringing forth the very femicidal practices that are global, bringing it into characterization, bringing it to the international law. I mean, you're right, it's going to come out. It is going to be exposed. It will be peeled back. Humanity wins all the time. Get right here.
Listen and be heard for Beyond Borders. Federal process for the First Amendment practiced. First Amendment rights event. And so looking forward to this. Beautiful place, the Federal Plaza.
Listen to our intuition, the more it will be able to help us. Everything we encounter either gives us energy or depletes it. So it's about choosing the thing that makes you feel stronger, that restores your energy, that makes you feel most alive. Our power is in the present, the moment we commit to loving and trusting ourselves right now, exactly as we are. There was once a pope who declared himself innocent. Pope Innocent the Eighth. That's 8 of 13, if anyone's counting. Perhaps his very name emboldened him, gave him the zeal for dramatic decrees for no good reason, except perhaps it was 1484. A stressful time, you know. Long winter, everyone starving. And besides, he really hated his mother. Bitches be crazy, he pounded his fist, issuing his papal bull, Summis Deserantis Affectibus, in which he declared that women be bitches and bitches be witches and witches will all have to die. The Pope was so excited, he took his dudes to dinner. Cramer and Spranger were fed the best boar and asked to write something up. They named their book Malleus Maleficarum, The Hammer of the Witches, and it became a runaway bestseller, An Idiot's Guide to Global Femicide. The church invented suffering, but then they had to explain it. Someone would have to be punished, and that someone would be female. And so the church invented evil. And then they added a D and invented the devil. And the devil was a woman and the woman was bad. But evil is backwards for live, life inverted and light denied. We were innocent in the garden till the church cut down the trees and pinned the blame on Eve. Such a clever trick of misdirection. Look over there, it's all her fault. One sleight of hand and they sawed her down the middle. For 300 years, the inquisitors prevailed, and the air was dark with burning flesh. Fear is so persuasive, and the terror was a plague embedded in the blood of all women. Self-doubt, self-loathing, and silent self-destruction. But then time passed. Time fades the lies once inked on paper, and only truth endures. Now it is time to grant our own reprieve, to let ourselves off the hook and down from the pyre. Now we can write our own books and make our own declarations. Now, as before, as always, we are innocent.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for sharing your wisdom, your words, your magic.
I would say, as a performer, I'm a baby clown. I've taken a couple workshops, and I trained at RADA, and at RADA we had clown classes, but I've not done intensive clown work, and I just think there's just levels to the game. I'm a baby clown.
Camel, you ready? Okay, a spit.
I'm thinking about my Louisiana public school education, which at the time was ranked number 50, I believe, in the country. And I don't recall having an experience in which I was confronted with wanting to read something and it was banned. But I do recall learning somewhat of a revisionist history. And it's really funny, having had gone to Hamilton College with most people coming from the Northeast, most other students coming from the Northeast, and talking about our education and what we learned in high school and reflecting on where our different backgrounds. And every time I'd reflect on my Louisiana education, I'd be like, yeah, well, we learned the Civil War completely different from how people in the Northeast learned about it. And it's funny because I don't think it was necessarily the textbooks. I do actually think it was the teachers.
Okay, listen and be heard, because it's important to always hear what everyone has to say, and to be able to accept other people's opinions as well as being able to speak your own.
People will define justice differently. We have to be aware of that fact. I've come across that, as you mentioned, I've been working in this field for the past almost 30 years or more. And what you find is, of course, the way that different victims would define justice at different times in different situations is also going to be defined by their experience and what they've been through, right? So for somebody, justice is, obviously nobody will bring back those who are gone, right? But for somebody, justice is to have a roof over their head, to have livelihoods, right? For somebody else, justice is to see the perpetrators behind bars. And for others, it is all of those things and other things besides. So it's really, you know, when we talk about justice in the sense of whether we call it with a small j, perhaps, is a more general term, this is something that will really depend on the person.
Okay, this is Listen and Be Heard. We are at the Hendersonville Main Library for a National Reading Awareness Day. And this is the wonderful, wonderful artist, Virtuous, who did about three songs that really address literacy. Tell us about yourself and your music.
Yeah, so my name is Virtuous, and my music is all about faith, hope, love, and identity. And through that, you know, just really just being able to inspire and encourage people through my music is my whole goal. I've been a singer-songwriter now, like, professionally for the last 7 years, mm-hmm. and just really look forward to continuing this journey, you know, of putting out music that uplifts. What inspired that was really just the idea of me wanting to encourage youth, you know, me wanting to make a fun song that, like, gets people thinking and dancing and just, you know, kind of up, you know, just high energy. I wanted a high energy song that addressed reading specifically. My mom's a reading teacher, so I even mentioned that in
wow.
the song.
Yeah.
You know, and just, yeah, just to try to encourage the kids, like, hey, reading is fun, you know?
Well, I know your mom, definitely had to have been an inspiration. You know, she was a teacher, but were there some authors of different books
when you were coming up that really that kind of stick to your mind, things that you books that
yes.
you remember and that
the
inspired
number
you?
Number one book of inspiration I would think was Junie B. Jones. I loved Junie B. Jones growing up, and my mom would actually
Junie B. Jones.
My mom would actually impersonate Junie B. and go to the classes and read the books, but she would dress like the third grader or fourth grader or whatever grade Junie B. Jones was in, and she would just kind of impersonate, you know, her character, and that for me was like really inspiring. It's like, okay, she was able to make the book come to life.
We have a physical space in Inglewood, California, and in that space, kind of two things are happening. One is the Black Lantern Bookstore, right? So it's a bookstore cooperative, all Black owned. It's myself, Cipriano, Natalie, and Zach. So we're the three who co-founded the space alongside, and we had a lot of help from an organization called Community Movement Builders, which was originally out of Atlanta, but they really helped us kind of get started in the space. And so it's a Black radical bookstore. You know, we were trying to create something that's in the tradition of, you know, Martin Sostre and all of those kind of like the whole Black books time, right? A place for community to come, learn, talk, discuss, right? Explore new ideas. So that's in the physical space, that's in the front. So you walk in and then you're in Black Lantern Books, and that takes up about a third of the space. And then in the last two halves of the space is a community lending library.
I've been thinking about it quite a bit because I've been, you know, for the last 10 years, I just have felt that the movement as a whole has been off course, you know, for longer than that. But, you know, specifically, I'm thinking like maybe 15 years. Because I think the issue is capitalism. And I think, you know, on the one hand, we're in the middle of such an intense backlash. So, you know, backlashes only happen when you're doing something kind of right, you know? So that's why we're seeing the backlash, you know, against women, against Black people, against, you know, I think there's a backlash for sure after 2020. But where I think it specifically started to go wrong, or at least this is a part of it, is sort of the uplift of this idea that, you know, the girl bossness of it all, and the idea that I think that it's very easy for white women to fall into, which is this idea that if you're adjacent to power, that's better than not being near power at all. But what happens when you're adjacent to power in a system that is only meant, you know, for straight white men, if we're naming it? You can't participate in that and further the cause. So, you know, like this whole sort of lionization of women CEOs, or even, you know, a woman president being important, you know, over time I've come to find that those are actually pretty regressive ideas and not what we should be rallying around.
I had always had this dream of on my dad's land to create a retreat. It's almost all tropical rainforest with lehua flowers, and there's orchids there. And he built his whole kind of lean-to house in the Thoreau style of everything is recycled. And I was like, this would be such a great place for writers. This would be such a great place for writers. That quest has been in my consciousness almost my whole life, to figure out this problem of racial violence and lack of understanding. Alabama dirt. Never tasted Alabama soil, phloem clay. It's the dust I'm made of. Sweet tomatoes. Uncle Sam bowed under the sun, gently handles a small fruit. So few men in my family line live. Family secret buried in denials. Sammy lives in a pool of my mind, golf club in hand of blood. I call my mom on the phone to ask about vigilante justice in the segregated South. We don't talk about that. But was there justice, I ask? Time follows no rules, and gunshots still deafen. As a child, I was obsessed with a black and white photo. I'd hide in the corner of my mind and go over it, lay in the bed with Sammy Young Jr., dreaming him to smile. What made him decide to fight his battle alone at night in Macon County, after participating always as part of a team? You had emotional problems, Mother says, back then. I just did not want to talk about it. All the things she does not want to talk about, my emotional problems, she calls them. Images of blood still pooling on black cement, imagined weapon, justification for death. Was it in his beautiful head that they found the bullet? College-educated brains shot out for being hot-headed, uppity. Ripples of this one death penetrate generations. And here I am, still swallowing pills.
Listening to? Is that you? I hear a whispering and someone's here. Is that me? Hurting what's listing in the belly of a ship, dipping, slipping in a storm, while you pretend it's the norm? And I'm listening to the thought that I ought to let go of the ship and slip into the sea. And watch me slowly sink into memories where the only light is manufactured by the creatures of the depths, finding ways to be fed, being led among dead beings, seeing light as heaven, while breathing water, thinking stars and cars and Mars and you could have gone so far, but you weren't the one. And fun is as does, was, never, and run from a fight. Keep light at your back, hack your way to pay to play. What I am to listening, hear what was, you was me, he, she, they, then. What am I? Listening to you. They listened while heard I was wasing, list, listing.
He just kept saying, women have been so patient. I was offended at first, but I thought, wait.
Is that true?
Well, superpower, whatever it is that we hold, is in the face of the world as patience, but it's some kind of something else that allows us to do what we do, and that is to hold all the sacred waters, to give life, to create miracle, to continue. And I think it's beyond the words patient. Patience.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. Because patience implies it's almost like martyrdom or something.
Exactly.
Where I think it's more like silence in the face of not wasting your precious energy. That's not patience, right? That's something else.
That's what.
Distant and fever.
message. I want you to heed my warning. I want to tell you all a story about this chick I know. They call her Amphetamine Annie. She's always shoveling snow. I sat her down and told her, I told her crystal clear, I don't mind you getting high, but there's one thing you should fear. Your mind might think it's flying, baby, on those little pills, but you ought to know it's dying, cause speed kills. But Annie kept on speeding, health was getting poor. She saw things in the window, she heard things at the door. Her mouth was like a grinding mill, her lips were cracked and sore. Her skin was turning yellow, I just couldn't take it no more. She thought